From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. I share your excitement. We have a great show for you today. We are excited especially to be hosting Governor Gary Johnson in our Not My Job game. He is the Republican candidate for president, as we have said. He is known better by his nickname, Who the Hell is Gary Johnson? Well, stick around, you'll find out. He's an impressive guy. But first, this weekend, you probably heard this, it's the scheduled time for the rapture, according to a prominent religious leader. So if you find yourself listening to our show, there are really just two possibilities. Either none of us made the cut, or, and I think this is more likely, this is heaven. That's right. This is the reward for a life of virtue, listening to this radio show. And I know what you're thinking out there. You're thinking, wow, if I knew it was just going to be this, I would have gone ahead and coveted my neighbor's wife a little. Sorry, too late. But here in heaven, you do get to enjoy Carl's voice on your voicemail. So call in to win it. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Andrew from Wilmington, North Carolina.
How are things in beautiful Wilmington?
Oh, beautiful. The weather is warm. The beaches are ready.
Right. What do you do there?
I'm a newspaper reporter.
Oh, my gosh. How quaint. I'm so glad you're out there maintaining those wonderful, charming old traditions.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely does. Well, welcome to the show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a writer for the Boston Globe magazine and the author of the book Idiot America, Mr. Charlie Pierce.
Hey, Andrew.
Next, it's one of the women behind the Washington Post's reliable source column, Ms. Roxanne Roberts is here. And lastly, a comedian whose first CD, I Heart Jokes, is out now. She's performing at the Union County Arts Center in Rahway, New Jersey, June 24th, Miss Paula Poundstone.
Hey, Andrew.
Andrew, welcome to the show. You're going to start us off, of course, with Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle is going to perform for you in a theatrical way, three quotations from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you'll win our prize, of course, Carl's voice on your voicemail. Ready to go?
Yes, sir.
Here we go. Here is your first quote.
Many are grumbling that we don't have a perfect candidate. Just as many grumble they can't find a perfect spouse.
That was a powerful Republican fundraiser telling people to stop their whining about what group of people?
The Republicans.
Yes, specifically the Republicans who want to do what?
Run for president.
Exactly right. The Republican presidential candidates, yes. So, you know that uplifting video project for bullied teens, It Gets Better? The GOP presidential candidates have their own version. It's called Oh My God, It's Actually Getting Worse. This week, Donald Trump said he wouldn't run for president, deciding to spend more time with his delusions of grandeur. And Mike Huckabee said God did not want him to run. True. Apparently God needed him to come to the rapture and warm up the crowd with some stand-up. And then Newt Gingrich, just days after launching his presidential campaign, Mr. Gingrich went on Meet the Press and criticized the GOP plan to turn Medicare into a voucher program. And the Republican Party responded as if he had just announced he was leaving his latest wife to gay marry Ralph Nader. He's done, they all said. He's toast. He's finished. So Newt backtracked in what we believe is the first ever pre-buttle in American politics. He attacked in advance anybody who dared to bring up in the future what he had said the day before.
Wow.
He said, quote, any ad which quotes what I said on Sunday is a falsehood, unquote. Yeah, because who are you going to believe? Me or that lying bastard on the video I taped yesterday?
This came as an enormous surprise to everybody in the country except the two previous Mrs. Gingriches.
Probably. And in what may be the final nail in his coffin, and this is, again, is true, Mr. Gingrich's phone went off at a campaign event just this week in Iowa, and his ringtone, Dancing Queen by ABBA. It's over. He's finished. It might as well have been Waterloo. Anyway, Republicans are very disheartened by the events of the last week with all these people dropping out or self-destructing. Many Republican insiders are counting on former Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty to save them. How do you know when you're in trouble? When your only hope is Tim Pawlenty's charisma.
Who is Tim Pawlenty?
He's the former governor
of Minnesota.
Former governor of Minnesota.
I don't remember that name. I remember his polenta.
Yeah, that was actually his. He invented that. Pornier mush. Yeah, that was his.
It's yummy.
Yeah, it's pretty good. For your next quote, we're going to go back to 2003 when the governor of California was asked by Vanity Fair magazine what phrase he most overused.
Maria, I'm sorry.
Turns out he had to say that a lot this week as Arnold Schwarzenegger apologized for what?
Fathering a child with a housekeeper.
Exactly right. His love child, that's right, Arnold Schwarzenegger, turns out, has a love child. Although in his case, we're not sure love was probably the cause. It was more of a, hey, look, we're both in the laundry room, child.
Well, but she stayed in her job because she had a $500,000 account at Home Depot.
There you go. People had been suspicious that this child raised by his housekeeper might be his. The story, though, was confirmed when the little kid was cast in a school play and he was just terrible. People were like, that kid's so stiff, he should stick to playing robots, really. The mother was a member, as we have said, of the family's household staff. Her job description was listed as cooking, cleaning, and some light impregnation.
Just seems to me now there's a, I think it's Time that has a headline that says, why are powerful men such pigs? And I just want to go on record as saying that I think that's really unfair to pigs.
Yeah, you don't see the pig going up to the woman, cleaning out their sty and going, hey, good looking. Some pig.
Well, I don't know if you ever heard the phrase Irish twins, which is when you have two kids.
More or less, same time.
Now we know what Austrian twins are. It's when your wife and your mistress have their kids almost at the same time.
1 week apart.
Here is your last quote, Andrew.
Right. There's so much magic about to unfold. Hold on to each other. Take it all in. Give love and receive love.
That was the announcer at the United Center in Chicago this week at the big festive taping of the grand finales of what famous daytime TV show?
Oprah.
Yes, of course, the Oprah Winfrey Show. This week, Oprah Winfrey taped two big finale shows in Chicago, featuring an impressive list of guest stars. Stevie Wonder, Tom Hanks, Tom Cruise, who, as is his habit, jumped up and down on top of her. One big surprise, Oprah's long-term beau Stedman Graham also appeared, and they continued their long-standing tradition of pretending to date each other. Stedman said, and he said this, Oprah is really a normal, down-to-earth person who, quote, brings her own lunch to work every day, unquote, said Stedman Graham. What he didn't say was that the lunch is driven in a separate car, and Oprah's friend Gail chews it up and regurgitates it back into Oprah's mouth. Cue digestion for you. It's very loving. It's very loving. Like an eagle for its chick.
She's not on TV. She's not on TV anymore, Peter, but she's still in town. I'm just telling you this right now.
Carl, how did Andrew do in our quiz?
Andrew played a perfect game, Peter. Three correct answers, so Andrew, you win our prize.
Well
Newspaper
done.
Newspaper reporters are very smart.
Andrew, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Right now, panel, it's time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Paula, a British supermarket chain is launching a line of microwave dinners that do what when they're ready?
Call out to you.
Yes, they do. They whistle at you. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
The only thing more depressing than a Friday night alone with a frozen Salisbury steak is when that Salisbury steak tries to hit on you. The McVac frozen curry dishes work the same way a tea kettle does. They whistle when they're done. Then, like a well-trained golden retriever, you eagerly take the tray from the microwave and silently eat it over the kitchen sink.
If you continue to talk to the dinner while you're eating it, you might have a problem, though, right?
That's true. I mean, on the other hand, it could be rather compelling if you're lonely enough. We understand Arnold Schwarzenegger once tried to father a child with his.
Yes, he failed to roll the cellophane back in time.
How many more distasteful jokes can we come up with?
We have just a little bit of time. We'll have to cram them in. Oh, that's what Arnold said.
Now appearing in seventh grade, Peter Sagal.
Thank you.
Dinner for one again, the only meal I eat. I get my fill, but still I feel empty.
Right now it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game on the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Sarah from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Hey, how are things in Raleigh?
It's really great here.
You know, we've had a lot of people calling from North Carolina today, and they're just going on about how great it is.
It is. It really, really is. We're lucky.
Frankly, Sarah, it's a little wearing on us here.
I'm from Michigan, if that makes any difference.
All right, well, there you go. Sarah, welcome to the show. You're going to play the game in which you have to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Sarah's topic?
You'd be nowhere without me.
Behind every great personal success, there's somebody else trying to take credit for it and demanding a cut. This week, our panelists are going to tell you three stories about people staking somewhat dubious claims on someone else's brilliant accomplishment. Choose that true story. You will win Carl's voice on your home answering machine or voicemail. You ready to play, Sarah?
I'm ready.
Let's hear first from Roxanne Roberts.
Okay.
Some relationships turn into happily ever after, and some turn into best-selling albums. British singer Adele has just released her second chart-topping CD, and her ex-boyfriend wants a cut of the royalties. All those miserable breakup songs wouldn't have happened without him. He was such a lying, cheating bad boy that he inspired virtually all of her hits, and he believes he should get some of the profits. Quote, for about a week he was calling and was deadly serious about it, the 23-year-old singer, who refused to name the cad, told Britain Sun newspaper. Finally, I said, well, you made my life hell, so I lived it, and now I deserve it. Anyway, he's not getting a dime, and Adele is one of the richest women in Britain under 30.
There you go.
Okay.
Adele's bad boyfriend calling up and demanding a cut of her proceeds for inspiring her songs of anger and heartbreak. Your next story of someone trying to claim credit comes from Charlie Pierce.
There's an old pirate saying that dead men tell no tales, but dead men do have relatives who talk to lawyers. 2 years ago, a consortium of treasure hunters excavated a pit outside Fort Lauderdale and discovered the long-lost treasure of Mad Billy Wyler, a famous pirate of the 17th century. The treasure was valued at $16 million in gold and artifacts. The consortium was quite open about its use of a psychic in its researches and on the subject's reliance on a, quote, spirit guide named Maximilian to help them discover the treasure. This week, Martin Smithick, the descendant of one Maximilian Smithick, a member of the Wyler crew, sued the consortium seeking $2 million as compensation for his dead relative's work on the case. Smithick, who can document his ancestors' ties to Wyler because the two pirates were arrested and hanged together in 1697, said, there is no reason why my ancestor should have worked for free just because he's dead. That's just, well, intellectual piracy. A lawyer for the consortium dismissed the action as a nuisance complaint and said that this suit, yes, wait for it, did not have a ghost of a chance.
A man suing some treasure hunters, saying his dead ancestor was the ghost that helped him find the treasure. And lastly, your story of somebody saying, I did that, it was me, comes from Paula Poundstone.
It is a dog-eat-dog world out there. Deluxe doggy steps inventor Ray Nugent is being sued by his former wife, Beatrice George, who claims to have been the inspiration for the popular deceptively simple as-seen-on-TV product. It's three carpeted steps, but they've made millions for Nugent, which has his ex-wife, baring her teeth. The whole thing was because of me, says George. I overfed the dog. We had Butchie Boy at the time. He was a beautiful basset hound. He loved to snuggle on the couch, but they're not climbers, and he couldn't get up. I used to beg Ray to help him up, but he was just too damn lazy. His idea was just a plank leaning up on the couch. Poor Butchie Boy slipped off and hit his chin a dozen times. I rushed him to the vet over and over. I kept saying, Ray, he needs traction. That's how he thought of the carpet. I think she has a fairly strong case, says attorney Hugh McGinnis. The dog was quite fat, and Butchie Boy's vet does have a record of treating chin lacerations a number of times. She's nuts, claims Mr. Nugent. Listen, I wanted the dog up on the couch just to keep her away from me. I suppose you could call that inspiration, but I'm not giving her a penny. She's a whack job. I thought of the carpeted stairs when stapling Beatrice's wedding dress to the plank didn't work for traction. The trial date has yet to be determined. The world must wait.
All right, so here are your three choices. From Roxanne Roberts, a story of how the miserable ex-boyfriend of the British singer Adele wants a share of her profits because, well, he inspired her misery. From Charlie Pierce, how the descendant of someone who, as a ghost, might have helped some treasure hunters find their treasure, he wants a cut. Or from Paula Poundstone, a woman who nagged her husband into coming up with a profitable invention, wants a share of that. Which of these is the real story of a dubious claim of credit?
That's hard.
It is.
I really think it might be Charlie's story.
You're going to go with Charlie's story of the gentleman who says his ancestor appeared as a ghost and helped some treasure hunters find their pirate treasure. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. We spoke to someone who knew about this real claim.
Adele's ex-boyfriend comes out of the woodwork. He keeps calling her, saying that he deserves some money for being such an inspiration for the new album.
That was Bridget Daly of Clever Music discussing the Adele story. So sorry, Sarah, but you did not get it right. You did, however, win a point for Charlie.
Arr! Thank you, Sarah.
Sarah, thank you so much for playing.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And now the game where we ask important people to think about unimportant things. It's called Not My Job. Gary Johnson built a construction business from nothing, then became a two-term Republican governor of a Democratic-leaning state, New Mexico. He cut taxes and put the budget in surplus. He has competed in triathlons and climbed Everest. He lives in a house he built himself, and he once put out a forest fire with his feet. Governor Gary Johnson, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. So, Governor Johnson, you are now, of course, a declared candidate for president for the Republican nomination. And given since everything I just said about you is true, why aren't you winning?
Well, I'm clearly not winning because I'm a fodder here on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell.
No, seriously. Seriously.
You're way down the list in that field.
We looked you up and we were amazed. You were like, if we had like a campaign consultant draw up the ideal candidate, it would be you. You are fiscally conservative, which is absolutely essential these days. And I mean, you cut taxes in New Mexico. You vetoed all these budget. I mean, you actually held the record for vetoes in nationally, right? During your two terms.
You know, it may be a bit of an embellishment, but I may have vetoed more bills than the other 49 governors in the country combined.
Right, and Republicans love that. They love people who hate laws.
Yeah.
That's. Of all the things we found out about you, maybe the most impressive, to me anyway, was the one about putting out the forest fire with your feet. Can you tell us that?
Well, there was a major forest fire in Los Alamos, and I was actually in a position when the fire was right at its inception and was burning in lawns that we were actually jumping out of the car and putting out these fires that were actually starting up in people's lawns.
Right, so you were running around and jumping on the fire.
Yes, everywhere. And, you know, just trivia, that evening over 500 firefighters from around the state came into Los Alamos to do that very thing all night long and prevented the really prevented the town of Los Alamos from burning to the ground. There was very little damage relative to what could have happened.
So it was fortunate that that clogging convention was in town.
Yeah. I just want to say, I mean, one of the things that you hear a lot about in presidential primaries is toughness. How tough is he? And you've got this locked. You've done four or five Hawaii Ironman triathlons. That's the 2 mile swim, the 100 mile bike ride, the marathon. You've
climbed, and that's with burnt feet.
Yeah, which hurts. You've climbed. You've climbed Mount Everest plus three other of the tallest mountains on the various continents. Don't you think after all that the Oval Office would be dull?
From a personal standpoint, I think this is really one of life's great adventures, and I'm really thrilled to be a part of it. I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't think I could do the job. I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't think I could do a good job at doing the job. But thirdly, that personal notion of this really, I think, is right up there with regard to adventure and maybe one of the great adventures of humankind.
So a lot of Republicans seem to pick and choose their whole small government thing. There's some areas they're for it, some areas they're not. But you're like a libertarian all the way through. In fact, you even have said that you don't believe there should be stoplights in some situations.
Well, you know you're a libertarian when in the middle of the night you pull up to an intersection, there's nobody in sight, and the light's red. So you know you're a libertarian when, gee, if I run this red light, am I really putting anyone in harm's way? Aren't I being completely safe? I've found myself in that situation, and you know what? I've gone through that red light before.
Really? And about speed limits, you said, quote, there are times and places where it would be perfectly safe to go 140. That would be 140 mph. And there are others where it would be reckless to go 55 miles an hour.
So in that same space.
Yes.
That same space.
Oh, I see. So you were saying that in any given stretch of road, there might be time to go slowly, might be time to go quick. Can you tell us where and when the time was you went 140 miles an hour?
Hey, Highway 50 going across Nevada. Now, there is a stretch of a lonely, completely desolate highway where you can see in places 6 miles ahead. So that's a pretty fast stretch of highway.
Well, all right. I just want to say I've been thinking about this because you are instantly my favorite Republican candidate because you've agreed to appear in the show. And you're up against some interesting guys, some of whom have talent, some of whom have money, some of whom have excellent hair. Do you ever look around at the other candidates on the dais with you or on the trail with you and say, oh, I wish I had that? Is there any characteristic of any other Republican candidate that you wish you had?
Or do I look around and go, you know, I got the best of all of that stuff.
Who are these guys? Well, Governor Gary Johnson, we are so thrilled to talk to you. And we have asked you here to play a game that this time we're calling...
All you've got to do is put out a viral video or a sex tape. Simple.
So you're trying to get noticed among the Republican presidential candidates. It's not easy. You're having a tough time. We thought we'd ask you questions about three people who found it very easy to get very famous very quickly. Answer two questions correctly. You'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on their voicemail. Carl, who is Governor Johnson playing for?
The governor is playing for Vanessa Cox of Camden, South Carolina.
All right, here we go.
Vanessa, you're in good hands.
Confidence! I love that! First up, that doyen of Insta-fame, Paris Hilton. We all know about the sex tape and the reality shows that made her famous, but our question to you is, she has used that maybe undeserved fame to endorse which of these products? A, canned champagne, B, diet dog food, or C, Paris Hilton's LSAT preparatory course.
Well, it's the dog food.
You're going to go for the diet dog food?
I mean, and you know what? I'm really guessing.
It was actually the canned champagne.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
It's called Rich Prosecco, and to promote it, Ms. Hilton posed nude, covered in gold paint, holding a can of champagne. All right, you still have two more chances. I just want to say, look, I am not a political consultant, but America does not want its president to giggle at challenge. I'm just saying. Because they don't want, like, Mr. President, our ships have been seized in the Adriatic. What do we do? And you're like, you gotta project sort of stern concern is what I'm suggesting. This is just me. I don't know. I host a radio show.
Hopefully it's just you.
It's just me. All right. Your next question, Rebecca Black, as I'm sure you know, she is the singer behind the viral video hit Friday. Her mother, who put up the money to produce that video, said she did it for what reason? Was it A, as a bat mitzvah gift for her daughter Rebecca, B, to dissuade Rebecca from a musical career, or C, as a creative application essay for Yale?
Creative application to go to Yale.
A creative application essay to go to Yale. Are you aware that Rebecca Black is 13? I'm just saying that.
I don't think he was. All right, so what are his other options?
The other options were a bat mitzvah gift for Rebecca, or to dissuade Rebecca from a musical career. That's what she said, the mother said she did it for.
Well, I'll have to go with the bat mitzvah.
The bat mitzvah.
Well, as you can see my thought process, I'm going to have to go with dissuade her from a...
That's right. That's right. Wow.
Wow.
That was good.
I am fodder.
The team of rivals really helped that time. Rebecca's mother says she wanted to show Rebecca that a musical career is really hard work and not very glamorous. Quote, in a way, I was hoping to discourage her and send the message that maybe she should have a backup plan. This did not work. All right. You got one last question. If you get this, you win our little primary, as it were. Jesse James got famous on a reality TV show, and then he got more famous for marrying Sandra Bullock, and then he got really famous for cheating on her just as she won her Oscar. Now Jesse James has a book out, he's doing interviews, and he says, what was the worst part of being married to Sandra Bullock? Was it A, having to constantly rewatch Miss Congeniality 2? B, listening to Sandra constantly complain about Drew Barrymore? Or C, having to talk to all of her Hollywood friends about NPR?
Clearly, the answer is C. There's just no going back. Huh?
You're right. That's correct. So, this is what Jesse James said in an interview with USA Today about dealing with Sandra's liberal Hollywood friends. Quote, I'd just talk to them about NPR. Did you hear Diane Rehm today? I look back at who I was then, and I want to punch myself in the face. Carl, how did Governor Johnson do in our quiz?
Well, the governor came through, Peter. Two correct answers, so Governor, you win for
well
Vanessa
done.
Cox.
May this be the first of your many wins. Oh. Governor, congratulations.
Okay.
Thanks for being here.
Governor.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye, Governor. In just 1 minute, Carl is raptured to Limerick Heaven, where they only communicate in rhyme. If you'd like to witness that miracle, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Roxanne, the New York Times reports that all across the nation this month, more and more 20 and 30-somethings are attending what?
Slumber parties.
No.
Probably not church, because that's not funny.
No. These are events that are very typical during the spring, but usually teenagers attend them.
But it's proms. Odd.
Yes, adult proms. In fact, people across the nation are heading to adult proms, where people who had a lousy time at their original prom, they get a do-over. Or people who love their prom can relive it in slightly larger-sized, fancy clothes. You get corsages, you get rented tuxes, the crowning of a king and queen. Everything is the same except the booze and the punch was purchased with a real ID.
Do I have to rent the electric blue tux with the velvet collar again?
You do.
I really don't want to.
You do. Adult proms is what they're called. Just like with diaper and bookstore, if you put the word adult in front of the prom, it gets sadder. Roxanne, this week Queen Elizabeth made a highly symbolic pilgrimage to Ireland, the first visit by a British monarch in decades. The trip would have been a complete major success, it almost was, but according to some people in Ireland, the Queen did make one big mistake. What did she do?
Didn't she refuse to drink some ale or something?
She refused to drink a pint of Guinness, dear.
Guinness.
That's the problem. Oh, yes, you can tell we have some drunks in the audience. They understand. The Queen's visit to Ireland was going so well. She had visited some wartime memorials. She had fired off a few words in Gaelic. She'd even convinced her husband, Prince Philip, not to tell his little joke about the priest and the altar boy. But her one slip-up, critics agree, she went to the Guinness brewery, and they poured her what they call the perfect pint, presented just so. And then, as Europe watched her on live TV, she turned and walked away.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's true. Although contemporary, the AP said that Prince Philip was seen to give it a look of longing before he followed. In the Queen's defense, Her Majesty has sworn off all alcohol after a disastrous spring break in Cancun a couple years ago. You may have seen it on the internet, or pay-per-view, Royals Gone Wild, that whole thing.
I'm imagining her on some beach wearing nothing but a hat.
And still clutching that little purse. Nothing but the hat and the purse. Charlie, Texans are proud everything in their state is big, but it seems the propensity to boast about size is getting out of hand, which is why lawmakers in the Lone Star State are being forced to intervene and draft a bill that would make it a crime in Texas to lie about the size of your what?
Your ranch.
No.
I'm going to work my way down, and you're not going to like where I end up.
Well, I'll quickly give you a hint then.
Your spread.
No, you are still allowed to lie about the one that got away.
A fish?
Yeah.
You can't lie about fish?
You can't lie about the size of your fish in Texas. Before you go boasting about the size
of
your catch,
it will be
if this bill passes, you could spend up to 10 years in prison or face a $10,000 fine. Texas Senator Glenn Hegar sponsored the bill. He said it's intended to wipe out cheating in high-stakes bass fishing tournaments. It's also one way to finally send his boring, overbearing uncle to prison. If this works, though, you know, they'll continue to pass laws. Texans will eventually be forbidden to lie about the size of anything, meaning that in honky-tonk bars all over the state, guys in cowboy hats will be looking at women and saying, "I got nothing."
They have nothing better to do than debate about whether or not they can lie about the size of fish?
Apparently, by their lights, that's an important issue.
Huh. I would just have loved to have heard the debate, that's all.
I imagine it was very stirring. Guys were like, "I have a dream that someday fishermen will be judged not by their braggadocio, but by the contents of their creel."
And of course, the people opposing the bill were willing to reach over in a bipartisan manner and give their opponents the benefit of the doubt.
Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our upcoming shows in Charleston, South Carolina, and Nashville, Tennessee. You can also find a link to the latest podcast from the producers of Wait, Wait. It's called How to Do Everything. This week, how to catch a fish with your bare hands. In case you need to know. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Nicholas from Las Vegas, Nevada.
Hey, how are things in Las Vegas? I love Las Vegas.
As usual, it's very beautiful.
I bet. And what do you do there?
I'm a personal assistant to a director choreographer, and I work in the casting department at a show on the Las Vegas Strip.
Oh, one of those big, fabulous circ-type shows?
Yes.
Oh, that must be fun.
Yeah, it is really fun.
It is?
So a massage therapist.
And you're also a massage therapist.
Yeah.
You can do anything. You are impressive.
Well, you consider running for president on the Republican ticket?
They're looking for a savior. Maybe it's you. Well, welcome to the show, Nicholas. Carl Castle is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly in two of the limericks, you'll be a winner. You ready to play?
Yes.
All right, here's your first limerick.
I loved Josie way back in my frat years, when emotions were killed off by flat beers. But my moods get released by this feline headpiece. Yes, my moods are projected by cat...
Ears?
Yes, cat ears. Well done. It is a problem, we all agree, to get people to understand how you're feeling, you have to open your mouth and tell them no more. Thanks to the new Japanese invention, cat ears for humans. Hooked up to brainwave sensors, the cat ears change position themselves based on your emotional status. It's true. When you're nervous, they stand straight up. When you're sleepy, they gently flap back and forth. And when they're just sitting there in your head in any position at all, that indicates you have lost all self-respect.
I don't need them because my actual ears do that.
Really? Yours, yes. They indicate your mood?
They indicate my mood, yes.
Open up? Right. All right. Here is your next limerick, Nicholas.
This breakup sure hurt, I'll explain. It's how we are wired in the brain. Feelings are centered where cuts and burns enter. Rejection gives physical...
pain.
Yes, yes. I heard a certain degree of ruefulness in your answer. Yes. Pain. According to a study in the latest issue of Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, rejection, whether romantic or otherwise, causes actual physical pain as well as emotional. In fact, a series of experiments found that a bad breakup is equal in physical pain to spilling hot coffee on yourself. In response, OSHA has now issued regulations requiring that guy you're dating to wear a spill-proof lid. One of those cardboard sleeves.
That doesn't make any sense.
When's the last time you...
Has anybody ever broken up with you?
Yes.
Was it like having hot coffee spilled on you? Physically?
Yeah, it was painful.
Okay. And then, no, this is another one of these... Peter's... Did he just shoot himself?
Hang on. I hope not. I would find that very painful. Let me check. Nicholas, are you there?
I was just putting down my cocktail.
All right.
Oh, my God. Nicholas.
Imagine, Paula, though, that Nicholas had rather than speak to you another minute, had shot himself just now.
I know.
Wouldn't you find that painful?
It would have created a pain almost like hot coffee on my...
You see? And you were skeptical.
That was terrifying. That was absolutely terrifying. Because in my head, I'm thinking, okay, I think a guy just shot himself while we were talking to him. And I thought, should we go on?
It's what he would have wanted. All right, Nicholas, here. Glad you're still with us in so many ways. Here.
Me too.
Here. Here is your last limerick.
Since the 60s, when he was first hired, that Ronald was never inspired. For 48 years, he's feeding kids fears. It's high time that clown was...
fired.
Yes! Hundreds of healthcare professionals and advocates have signed a letter asking McDonald's to stop marketing its food to children and more specifically to please retire that creepy clown Ronald McDonald. The fast food chain, of course, isn't going to let Ronald go. He knows too much. Besides, who are they going to use for a spokesman, if not the clown? A real customer? Hi, I'm Bernie McDonald. I'm 53, and I have adult onset diabetes, and I'm loving it. Carl, how did Nicholas do in our quiz?
Well, Nicholas had 3 correct answers, Peter, so he wins our prize. Congratulations, Nicholas.
Yay, thank you.
Now, on to our final game, Lightning Fill-in-the-Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
We have a tie for first place, Peter. Charlie Pierce and Paula Poundstone, they both have 3 points. Roxanne Roberts has 2.
All right. Roxanne, you are in third place, as surprising as that may be. You're up first. The clock, Roxanne, will start when I begin your first question, fill in the blank. With Osama bin Laden out of the picture, Egyptian terrorist Saif al-Adel has been named as the interim head of blank.
Al-Qaeda.
Right. On Thursday, federal meteorologists predicted that this year up to 10 blanks would form in the Atlantic.
Hurricanes.
Right. After the U.S. hit the $14.29 trillion limit, the White House increased pressure on Congress to raise the blank.
Debt ceiling.
Right. CBS announced that it was replacing Two and a Half Men star Charlie Sheen with actor blank.
Ashton Kutcher.
Right. Even though he'd bought two tickets, a Welsh man was barred from getting on his commuter train this week with blank.
Oh, with his pony.
His pony, yes. The New York Times and AP reported that the head of NBC Sports, blank, has resigned this week.
Dick Ebersole?
Right. After 23 years, Fox announced it was canceling that criminal-seeking TV show, blank.
America's Most Wanted.
Right. In addition to guidelines for dealing with outbreaks of things like swine and bird flu, this week the CDC posted guidelines for dealing with blank.
Diaper rash.
No. The CDC posted guidelines for dealing with the zombie apocalypse.
Before or after the rapture?
I'm not sure. The Centers for Disease Control's guide is called Preparedness 101, Zombie Apocalypse, with the slogan, get a kit, make a plan, be prepared. They stress the importance of planning, quote, where you would go if zombies started appearing outside your doorstep. It's nice to know the CDC has a sense of humor. It's troubling that they also posted a guide for zombies, warning that if you eat a brain, rare or medium rare, you do so at your own risk. Carl, how did Roxanne do in our quiz?
Roxanne had a great round, Ooh. Peter. 7 correct answers Whoa. For 14 more points. She now has 16 points, and Roxanne has the lead.
We have flipped a coin. Paul is elected to go last. Charlie, you are up next. Fill in the blank. In a speech at the State Department on Thursday, President Obama called on blank to return to its 1967 borders.
Israel.
Right. From his New York jail cell, Dominique Strauss-Kahn resigned his post as the head of the blank.
IMF.
Right. International Monetary Fund. While her husband was off commanding the space shuttle, blank successfully underwent surgery this week.
Gabrielle Giffords.
Right. Joe Biden was among those in attendance as Rahm Emanuel was inaugurated as the new mayor of blank.
Mayor of Chicago.
Right. Official Chinese media reports are warning consumers to beware of a new food safety threat. Blank.
Cheese.
Exploding watermelons. After hosting the Muscular Dystrophy Telethon for 45 years, comedian Blank announced he was retiring.
Jerry Lewis.
Right. On the Forbes list of the most powerful celebrities, Lady Gaga beat out Blank, who slipped to second place.
Oprah.
Right. For men who hate taking the time to put on both jeans and underwear, a clothing manufacturer in Japan has come up with a new product they're calling Blank.
Commando jeans.
Junder pants. Yes. They're blue jeans style underpants, basically the love child of a pair of jeans and tidy whities, and they make the wearers look like they're wearing an extremely uncomfortable pair of Daisy Dukes. Carl, how did Charlie do in our quiz?
Well, Charlie had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. He now has 15 points, but Roxanne still has the lead with 16.
All right. How many, then, does Paula need to win?
7 correct answers.
Here we go, Paula. This is for the game. Fill in the blank. On Thursday, Al-Qaeda released a posthumous audio recording from blank.
Osama bin Laden.
Right. Security forces said Wednesday that the wife and daughter of Libyan leader blank had fled to Tunisia.
Gaddafi.
Right. The FBI is investigating whether Unabomber Ted Kaczynski was responsible for poisoning Chicago-area blank capsules in 1982.
Tylenol.
Right. The father-in-law of French First Lady Carla Bruni revealed in an interview this week that she is blank.
Pregnant.
Right. Chicago man was charged with possession of a dangerous animal for owning an alligator that he used to blank.
Rob Banks.
Impress girls. Yeah. eBay buyers bid tens of thousands of dollars for the blank Princess Beatrice wore at the royal wedding.
For the hat.
Yes, the big strange loopy one. After a Florida bank robber yelled out, put the money in the bag, he was forced to leave without any money when it was revealed that blank.
I don't know. The bag was the only thing he had on.
Nope. He had forgotten the bag.
Ah!
Joseph Allen Price thought he had everything he needed for his bank robbery. He had a hold-up note all written out, and he had his getaway bicycle chained up outside. Turns out he'd forgotten the most important thing, though, the bag, you know, with the dollar sign on it. When no one else in the bank had a bag to give him, Price gave up on his heist and pedaled away, only to be apprehended by police a few minutes later. Carl, did Paula do well enough to win?
Well, she needed 7 correct answers, but Paula had just 5 correct answers. So with 16 points,
there it is.
Roxanne Roberts is this week's champion.
Happened again.
Well done, Roxanne. In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists to predict how Arnold Schwarzenegger's love child will make his mark in the world. But first, let me tell you all that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the National Association of Realtors, providing resources for homeownership at houselogic.com. The William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org. And Chase, offering the Marriott Rewards Premier Credit Card. Details at marriottpremier.com/radio. Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Goedeker writes our limericks. Our house manager this week is Patrick Kelly. Our intern this week, Amy Solomon. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Lester Larchik, Mohammed Mao, and Gary Yek. Thanks to John Zajac here at Chase Bank. BJ Liederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Chillog, Eva Walchover, and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Lorna White and Robert Genderpants Newhouse. The senior producer of Wait, Don't Tell Me is Michael Danforth. Now, panel, how will Arnold Schwarzenegger's illegitimate child distinguish himself? Charlie Pierce.
He will become a successful politician, a beloved governor of California, respected by all for his integrity and accomplishments, without a breath of scandal, who will become famous for changing his own bed linen.
Roxanne Roberts.
He'll star in Conan the Adulterer, in which all human beings will be able to trace their DNA to a muscle-bound Austrian caveman.
And Paula Poundstone.
In what will become the finest Republican tradition, he will climb Mount Everest, put out fire with his feet, and become president!
Well, if Arnold's love child does any of those things, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Charlie Pierce, Roxanne Roberts, Paula Poundstone. Thank all of you for listening. We'll see you next week in Charleston, South Carolina. Cannot wait. I'm Peter Sagal. We'll see you next week. This is NPR.